Joining us in studio, our next guest does a wonderful job covering all of it for us, specializing in the world of baseball. And Ben Davis knows over the weekend the Phils made a big old signing. And if Ben had ever gotten a contract like that, he wouldn't be with us here at Top Guy Today. Let's welcome our guy, Ben Davis. Good morning, Ben.
Top of the morning to you.
Wait, Ben, don't you wish you could take $172 million and have that be a hometown discount?
Yeah, I'd have gotten a helicopter right here.
All right, so Ben, when you saw the news, so everything on the Eagles still on the table, the big Aaron Nola news over the weekend certainly on the table as well, and we'll ask everyone at 215-592-9494 what you make of it. Ben, when you heard the news on, what was it, Saturday, James?
Saturday.
Yeah. When the news broke.
Oh, no, Sunday. Excuse me.
Sunday?
It was Sunday.
When the news broke across your phone there, Ben, what went through? What was your first thought?
I was kind of, thank goodness. I mean, the bottom line is I think they got him for cheap. You know, I think they, I know it's still $172 million, a lot of money, but this guy is super reliable. He takes the ball every fifth day. He's going to give you six innings every time out there. And the Phillies, there's not a whole lot out there. Unless you're going to overpay for a Snell, you know, or this guy from Japan, there's not a lot out there. And you know what you're going to get in Aaron Nola. You know it. And I think that the Phillies are better off for it.
All right, so I'm glad the Phillies did it. I was super psyched when I saw it. And I think it's a reasonable terms. And it's crazy to say $172 million is reasonable, but I think it is. In today's day and age of Major League Baseball. But let me give you two things on the flip side, Ben. Just put this in that Boggle. Remember in Boggle, you shake it up and you figure out, let's figure out in the end what it all means.
Boggle.
I'm going to give you two.
I was not expecting the Boggle.
Two facts. Either. Put it in the Boggle thing. Shake it around. Give me your reaction. Fact number one, Nola has been average in the regular season two of the last 3 years. Two of the last 3 years, he's hit an ERA in the mid-fours. Fact number two, the last time the Phillies had a great collection of players, the Howard, the Utley, the Rollins, the on and on and on we go, they stuck with them for too long, and that was part, not the main thing perhaps, but part of their demise was they stuck with those guys for too long. What's your reaction to those two things as it relates to Aaron Nola in the next 7 years?
I would agree with both of those.
So where are you?
No, not so much because of I think this offense is able to overcome some of the things that he's not been able to do with regards to earned run average. But I think that overall they're better off. The long-term thing, yes, I do agree that those guys that you're talking about for the 08, 09, 10, 11, that squad, yes, they were here a little too long. And I think their birth certificates didn't lie.
Yeah.
I think one other point to that, too, that we didn't have before that I believe we have now, and they have to prove it, but I think the Phillies have a lot stronger drafting and developing crew now and are better at it even over the last few years. And if
Well, they didn't rock the farm system the way they did then with all the trades.
Right.
Now, I supported all those trades back then because I wanted my team to go for it. This team hasn't had to make as many of those type of trades because they just go out and sign people.
But I think they've also done a better job drafting people.
I agree.
On top of that, so you need those guys to supplement if you've got these longer-term contracts with more money, then you have cheaper guys who can come up and make a difference. So I do think they're stronger as an organization than they were during that last run.
Well, we'll take your reaction to the Nola signing and obviously your sense of anticipation for the Eagles and the Chiefs tonight. You can weigh in on all that at 215-592-9494. Speaking of weighing in, Jason Kelce weighed in with us last week. You know, obviously unique situation, Eagles versus Andy Reid tonight, and both coaches are tremendous. I mean, just tremendous coaches. And we asked Jason last week to sort of give us the compare and contrast. Look, Kelce has played for four coaches. He's played for Reed, he's played for Chip, he's played for Doug, and he's played for Sirianni. And we asked Kelce when he was with us last week to compare and contrast Andy and Sirianni. This is what he started with.
You know, he had this aura.
Talking about Reed.
To him when I got here. And that was later in his career. And it was this aura that, you know, nobody... You know, I don't really know how to say it. You know, it was he was well respected. Everybody loved him. You know, we were here when everything happened. It's hard to truly compare the two. You know, and then obviously I was here for Nick when he first got a head coaching job, and you know the press conference and all these, like you could see him working into being a head coach. So So it was two very different parts of their careers.
No question about that from where Kelce was within his career and the two guys. Kelce continued on with a lot of praise of his current coach, Nick Sirianni.
One, they're both outstanding leaders. I think that they take accountability as good as anybody. I think, you know, they might be a little bit different in maybe how they speak, you know, I think, or maybe their mannerisms and whatnot. But they both take accountability for their mistakes. They both hold you accountable to your mistakes. Nick does such a phenomenal job in our team meetings and such a phenomenal job at the overall game management side of it. And that's not to say that Andy didn't do that. Again, I was so young.
Yep.
Nick is eye-openingly, and I've said this before, I think he really is the most productive team meeting coach I've ever been around. Between the wow. clips of the game, the clips of what people did well, people didn't do well, he really gets a lot of value out of those clips. He really goes out of his way to talk to each different group. He's an outstanding communicator. He's an outstanding facilitator of communication, which I think is important as a head coach.
Richie not here with us today. He's homesick. He, you know, likely will be with us tomorrow. But James, I know you and I were both struck last week with Richie's reaction to that comment by Kelce. Because how many times have you and I heard through the years John talk about how boring it was to be in a Brad Childress meeting?
Totally. Totally.
I mean, Richie has said that so many times. And I saw John's like face light off.
Yeah.
When Kelce talked about how much value there is that the players get out of a Nick Sirianni meeting.
He acted like he was blown away by
it.
I mean, he's like, did you hear that?
I know.
Did you hear that? Like, the best he's ever been around. Like, to Richie, that was a really impactful thing. And the way he described it is, like, those meetings are, in his mind, were always throwaways. And the fact that he's getting stuff out of it, I thought that was fascinating.
Now, more from Kelce, because he continued even on more, talking more about the Reed side of this. Here's Kelce last week with us.
I think Andy is a very serious. He's tough-nosed. He has this aura about him at this point in his career because he's been so successful. But he's funny in a way that, you know, once you you start talking to him, like, he will make you laugh like no other. He's he's probably one of the most brilliant offensive minds, you know, of this generation of football. Maybe the most consistently. You know, I think that his offenses have been so dynamic everywhere he's been. And, you know, he's sustained people coming and going, leaving and whatnot. He was great in Green Bay. So there's something about Andy and how he puts together an offense, a roster, and a play calling that has just been so impressive.
The way Andy keeps reinventing offense is just amazing. Guys, he is now, let's see, it was
remarkable.
14 years here, started in 99. What is this, year 24, I believe. It's freaking ridiculous.
I mean, he...
It's unbelievable.
He is so innovative and so forward-thinking. I mean, taken from the college game, and like, he was the... I don't ever remember, like, Walsh, when we were a kid, right?
Yeah.
It was Bill Walsh
and the
West Coast. And all.
That's right.
I don't remember someone reinventing and reinventing as much as Andy.
I mean, it's up there with Madonna.
Yeah.
Who did it, like,
sure, you know, with
Ben, how many times did Madonna reinvent?
Not the comparison I was expecting. Yeah.
No, but she
quite
did many, many, many she times. She, you know, and it's just, and here's the deal. You want to cut to the chase with Andy Reid, just consider this number. The number's 4. That's where he ranks in the history of the NFL for wins.
Wow.
Here's the list. Shula number 1 at 347. Belichick 2 at 331. George Halas 3rd at 324. And Andy Reid 4th at 276.
Wow.
Behind him is Landry and Lambeau and Paul Brown and Chuck Nolan.
Like
he's above
names.
He's above them all. By the way, I got to say this, full disclosure, speaking of George Halas, speaking of things you wouldn't think you'd see, you know, hear on a Monday morning. Speaking of George Halas, I'm like not making this up, Friday night at the Drexel Fairfield game. Spilled a beer on George Halas' grandson.
What?
Yeah, or grandnephew or something. I don't know what he was. I get introduced to. This is George Halas' kin. This is like his grandson
kin.
Or his great. I don't know what he is. And I'm like, hey man, nice to meet you. And I dropped this one thing, so I go to pick it up. It wasn't even my beer. It was his beer. I wasn't even drinking. I dropped this one thing. I go to pick it up. So first off, I'm clumsy dropping the first thing.
And you're knocking his beers even worse because then you ruin his beer.
I drop a piece of paper. I go to pick it up. As I go to pick it up, bang, I come up. My right hand hits his beer. His beer goes into his sweater. I'm like, what's going on here?
No.
So I
what a mess.
The Howells family, I apologize.
What
but, Ben,
mess.
Those numbers are amazing. Fourth all time.
Man. Yeah, it is. But, you know, James, you bring up Walsh in San Francisco. Who did he have there as a quarterback?
Montana.
Okay.
Yeah.
You bring up Andy here in Philadelphia. Who did he have?
Don.
Who's he have in Kansas City?
Yeah, but I'm not going to.
There's one comparison. I mean, there's this. It's the quarterback makes the coach.
Wow.
You know, I tell
did
you
not
what,
see this,
Ben. I agree to an extent, but not. I'll tell you why I don't totally agree with that. I mean, look, I think you're right. The quarterback is generally more important, but I will tell you this: the Mahomes thing, man. Anybody could have drafted him. Andy's the one that targeted him, so he saw something in him that clearly the Bears, who took Trubisky, like. 8 or 9 picks higher, didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, Andy did something a lot of coaches don't do, which is he sat the kid for the first year. Same thing he did with Donovan, sitting him here for half a year. Like, he had a plan there. He was teaching him. And I just believe that Andy's tutoring of Mahomes, much like it was with Donovan, plays a big part of this. It's not like he – and I equate that to the Montana thing. Like, Montana was a third-round pick. I mean, what Walsh did with the footwork and all, that was pretty innovative. I'm not saying Joe Montana wouldn't have been good. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have been good. But I don't believe those guys get to the level they get to without the mentorship of Walsh and Reed.
Why couldn't he do it with Kevin Cobb?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, also, exactly. There's coaching tree, too. I mean, he's the only other one like Walsh where you can look at and has this real robust tree like that.
Like, there's a lot there. I mean, the Reed thing's amazing. I'll tell you this. Sirianni, though, I'm very happy he's the coach. I think Nick Sirianni's a great coach. Look, we'll take your reaction to all that at 215-592-9494. Elliot Short Parks from Kansas City. He joins us next segment. Around 8:30 from KC. We'll get more of Ben's thoughts on the Aaron Nola contract and where the Eagles go from here. Much more up ahead. Joe to camera. We got Seltzer in for Richie today on 94 WIP.
It is a busy time of the year. School, kids, sports, activities, work, and, well, pretty much everything. So there is no time for aches, pains, or an injury to slow you down. Physical therapist at NovaCare Rehabilitation. Get it? They are here for you. Trust the NovaCare team for your physical therapy, hand therapy, and sports medicine needs. If you're not sure what to do next or if physical therapy is right for you, not a problem. Schedule a complimentary consultation and speak with a physical therapist to help determine your next best step. With more than 150 convenient locations in the Delaware Valley and South Jersey area, NovaCare is close to work and home, and you can begin physical therapy faster without a doctor's referral. To learn more about the benefits of physical therapy, schedule an appointment today at NovaCare.com. The Philadelphia Eagles trust NovaCare. So can you. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.